At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
Paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to our 20th Dark Minisode. For any new listeners or anyone unfamiliar with the format, these episodes are experiences which are truly amazing, but sadly were a bit too short for a full episode of The Dark Paranormal. When we receive experiences of this length, they find a home in one of two places, either right here on a minisode, where we can look at them individually on their own merit, or we split them over to our Patreon for our Patreon podcast, Dark Bites, where we will sew together a series of shorter experiences and deliver them in one 30-minute podcast. The one thing we ensure that we never do is duplicate what you will listen to. So if you are a Patreon and you're listening to this minisode, you won't have heard this experience before. And by the same merit, if you join our Patreon at patreon.com/thedarkparanormal, every experience that you hear on our weekly Dark Bites episodes will never have been aired on the main feed. This way we can ensure that the experience that you listen to today, or indeed on any edition of Dark Bites, you will have not heard before. And therefore we keep things fresh. And speaking of fresh, today's minisode takes place in the outer wilds of the Highlands of Scotland, a place where the weather itself can be both angelic and demonic. It truly is a place where nature will remind you of both its beauty and how ferocious it can be, turned up to 11. But, and I very rarely, if ever, do this, I want to give a quick mention to the upcoming Dark Paranormal episode for Friday. What you will hear on Friday is sincerely one of the most tragic, heartbreaking, and terrifying true experiences we may have ever covered. And I'm trying to give you pre-warning in terms of the actual sadness in the episode, but also the utter terror. And the episode itself, believe me, it's 100% genuine. Though the writer of the submission has wished, quite rightly, to remain anonymous, they've provided me, personally, with links to news reports regarding several different aspects of this one experience. It's so rare for me to thank a submitter in advance of a yet-to-be-aired episode that I don't think I've ever done it before, but I genuinely feel the need to do so on this minisode for what you're about to hear on Friday, as it's arguably the most personal episode and experience we'll have ever done. But that's for Friday's episode. Right now, let's draw our attention to the Highlands of Scotland and an email from one of our listeners named Lucy. And Lucy writes, "Hi, my name's Lucy. I'm now a married 40-year-old mother of two. But my experience is from 20 years ago, when I first passed my driving test. From the very beginning of my driving journey, the roads have never felt like a friend. As a naturally nervous person, the very act of sitting behind the wheel filled me with a sense of dread. I'd failed my test 4 previous times, and each attempt layered more anxiety and doubt on my belief that I'd pass. The thought of merging into busy lanes, the blare of a horn, or those impatient drivers who seem to just go right behind you, they just fueled my apprehension. But despite these challenges, driving was not a mere convenience. It was essential. The isolated location of my workplace made public transport a non-viable option. So I'd often resort to taxis or lifts. And often asking for lifts would wear my colleagues' patience thin, and paying for taxis was wearing my purse thin. But friends would often help out and my partner would pick me up when he could, but it was essential I learned to drive. So when I finally did pass, on my 5th try, the relief was palpable. And my partner, ever understanding, decided to celebrate this hard-won victory by buying me a car, a symbol of my independence, and a gesture of his faith in my apparent newly found confidence. It was meant to be a new chapter, an end to the cycles of depending on other people, and a start towards a journey of self-assurance on the road. Little did I know, that car, that was meant to be a harbinger of freedom, would soon reveal itself to be anything but ordinary. As I ventured out into the world of solo driving, the gift that was meant to give me wings gave me nightmares, shadows, and spectres. And here in the heart of rural Scotland, nestled between the foggy hills, I found myself the owner of an ordinary car that was anything but ordinary. My partner, always the pragmatist, had presented it to me with a proud smile. It was a second-hand charm, or so we thought. A slate grey hatchback, and it looked decent enough for my back and forth to work and daily errands. It was an old car, but it seemed reliable enough, and my first few drives were quite uneventful, except for the few quirks you would expect from an old car. But it wasn't long before peculiar things began to happen. The indicators would flick on without my prompting. Now remember, this is not a modern car. It would take a physical flick of a switch to put the indicator on. And that's what would happen. The radio began switching stations at a whim. And every now and again, particularly at night, I would be convinced in my rearview mirror I would see a shadow sat in the back seat. Of course, I'd pull over and spin my head round and nothing would ever be there. It was an unsettling feeling that began to creep over me, especially of a night when I was in that car alone. Because I never quite felt alone. One chilly evening, my curiosity got the better of me. And over dinner, I said to my partner, "Where did you get this car?" He hesitated, his fork halfway to his mouth. "I got it from that second-hand place down the road. It's all legit-like." "Is there anything wrong with it?" I asked. He paused. "Well, I mean, it was written off after an accident, but all fixed up, it's perfectly legal and safe, love." "Written off?" I exclaimed. "Yeah, but don't worry. There are loads of different types of being writ off. It just needed a few bits, honestly. He then walked out the room and came back with a pile of paperwork showing that the car had indeed been written off, and another two documents, one showing that the car was indeed now legally drivable, and the second document showing that he'd had a mechanic look over the car prior to sale. Well, his reassurances did very little to soothe me. After a series of nerve-wracking tests and countless hours spent gripping the steering wheel like a lifeline, I thought I was getting rid of my anxiety. However, this gift from my partner was now bringing it all back. This was meant to be my sanctuary, a space I would finally feel in control of. However, it soon morphed into a stage for a series of inexplicable events that genuinely freak me out to this very day. Let's have a quick break to talk to you about Policy Genius. Now, we all like to put off life insurance talk because it reminds us of our mortality. But life insurance isn't about death, it's about life. It's about ensuring the lives of those you love remain secure and comfortable. And I'm sure many of you will think, well, I'm covered through work or I'm covered through my bank account. But believe me, you want to check those finer details because you may be surprised what you're actually covered for. And this is exactly where Policy Genius come into their own. Yes, we could talk about how Policy Genius is America's leading online insurance marketplace, or how their award-winning agents will walk you step by step through the entire process. But the best thing about Policy Genius for me is they don't have a dog in the fight. They're not going to strong-arm you towards one company or another. They've no incentive to do so. Their only incentive is to listen to your needs, scour America's top companies, and find you the best price. For example, with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that begin at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options even offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. There's a reason why Policy Genius has thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot, and you'll find out what it is when you tick life insurance off your to-do list with Policy Genius. So head over to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you can save. That's policygenius.com.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One evening, I found myself anxiously peering through the bedroom curtains at the car parked in the dim light of our driveway. And it was then that I saw it, or should I say, them. First was the rather unmistakable shadowy outline of a figure in the driver's seat. It was now unmistakably that of a young girl. Her movements were slow and deliberate, as if she were turning around in the seat to tend to what I could make out as small heads in the back, what I would imagine were her children. Well, that sight rooted me to the spot. It caught the breath in my throat. The figures were faint, ghostly, engaging in what looked like either a telling off or some quiet, unheard conversation. Compelled by a mixture of fear and determination, I eventually forced myself to move. My heart pounded as I hurried down the stairs. Each step seemed too loud, despite me trying to hurriedly creep. Reaching the front door, my hands fumbled clumsily with the latch. The metallic clinking of the lock again frustratingly loud. My thought being that if these were actual people sat in my car, I didn't want them to hear me and be scared off. Finally, I took a deep breath, swung the door open and grabbed a torch that we kept on the electric meter cupboard. I stepped out into the cold night air, and I do mean cold, like icy, see-your-own-breath cold. I slowly approached the car, my tentative steps circling the vehicle, peering in through the windows with the torch. The beam cut through the darkness inside the car and revealed empty seats. The benign disorder of my untidy day-to-day life. A few scattered CDs, a crumpled-up parking ticket, a lone glove. Yet the normality of seeing these items did nothing to ease the chill that was creeping up my spine. I opened the driver's door, and the interior light flickered on hesitantly. As I leant in, I scanned the seats and the back, but every shadow seemed to twitch and every sound I heard felt like a whisper. I closed the door, locked the car, and stood back, staring in bewilderment and astonishment. But then came the overwhelming feeling of being watched from within the car. And it was growing stronger, as if different heads were all now turning to face me, although I could see nothing at all. It freaked me out so much, I felt like I should be the one looking away. A shiver coursed through me, as chilling as if someone had walked over my grave. Reluctantly, I turned to head back inside, this feeling of unease clinging to me. No sooner had I closed the front door behind me than the car alarm erupted into the night. A blaring siren that shattered the silence and sent a spike of adrenaline through my already rattled nerves. I ran back to the window and I saw nothing but the car, now clearly empty. Although it was rocking slightly, as if caught in a strong wind. Yet, I'd been out there seconds before, and there was no wind. It was as if it was convulsing with a life of its own. The sound of the alarm pierced the air still, relentlessly, no matter how many times or how hard I pressed the button on the key fob, until suddenly, just as inexplicably as it started, it ceased. Standing there in the eerie quiet that followed, I could not quite shake the feeling that this car, with its mysterious former life, held far darker secrets than its boring exterior suggested. The concern gnawed away at me, so without wanting to look like a weirdo, I described everything that had taken place to my partner over breakfast. My voice wavered as I described the phantom figures and the sudden, inexplicable behaviour of the car. He listened, his expression a mixture of concern and scepticism. "Spooky," he smiled sarcastically. "But it's probably just an electrical issue," he said, trying to reassure me. "These old cars can have wiring problems that look like they cause a load of strange glitches." He said strange with air quotation marks. "I'll take it back to the mechanic this week. I'll get him to look over it again." His rational explanation and calm demeanour were meant to be comforting. Yet a part of me couldn't quite shake the sense that what was happening with the car went way beyond a mere electrical fault. Days turned into weeks, and he always had an excuse to never take the car to the mechanic. The football was on. I'm too hungover. I've got too much on at work. Blah, blah, blah. And although some days would be fine, eventually the car's behaviour grew increasingly erratic. The headlights would randomly flash in the dead of night, startling me as I tried to sleep, as I'd see the bright light on the bedroom wall. I'd jump up and check and always catch the headlights dimming, as if it knew I was about to check. Then, one afternoon, as I drove past the local cemetery of all places, the car doors locked and unlocked repeatedly, and over the radio came a crackling static. I pulled over, my heart hammering. I turned the radio off, and I put my head in my hands. But a few seconds later, there was a click, and the radio was back on. This time, the static blaring at full volume. I turned off the engine, pulled out the keys, got out of that car, and sat in a nearby bus stop until I'd calmed down. But the final straw came one fog-laden morning. I was driving to work and just going through the outskirts of town when, without warning, the accelerator jammed. My heart raced as I was speeding towards a red light. By some miracle, although I went through the red light, I missed a lorry by a split second, and I coasted to a stop just beyond the traffic lights. Breathing heavily, I pulled over, turned off the engine, and the car fell silent. As I was catching my breath, I looked up, and the steering wheel began to rapidly jerk by itself from side to side, like some eerie, unguided dance. Then my seatbelt snapped open of its own accord. While I got out of that car, my hands trembling and my breath uncontrollable, I thought I'd pass out. I sat on the roadside and called my partner. My voice was shaking as I recalled what had just taken place. He came quickly, concern etched in his brow, and we waited by the roadside, the car ominously quiet in front of us. Then, as if to remind us that we were not alone, the hazard lights blinked on, casting an orange glow on the pavement and our faces. He drove me home to the warmth of our house, a stark contrast to the non-weather-related chill that was still coursing through my bones. A while later, he called a friend and asked him to go with him to retrieve the car. On the proviso, after me insisting, that the friend took the car to his house and not ours. I didn't see that car again, and my partner sold it shortly after. Although I never saw the car again, the memory of that spectral young girl and her silent, tiny companions haunts me to this day. I wonder now if the car was really fixed. I mean, mechanically maybe, but I do wonder if some remnants of its tragic past were beyond repair, imprinted, if you will, in its mechanical soul. Well, thank you for reading my experience. I hope it makes the show, and I have a much longer experience from my husband that I'll hopefully type up and send one day. In the meantime, thank you, Lucy. Lucy, thank you so much for providing our dark minisode episode 20. That's one hell of an experience. And as something of a nervous driver myself, I completely empathise. Thankfully, the only sort of terror I've had to deal with is down to my bad driving and not the undead. As ever, thank you to everyone listening for choosing to spend your time with me on this minisode. And I cannot wait to deliver one of our most personal, tragic, and forgive the acronym WTF episodes we've possibly ever done. Until then, stay safe and take care.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.